Please do be seated.
Listen, come and see. I think those are the key phrase that I hope that you'll take away with you this morning as we look at the stories of Samuel and of Nathaniel. I wonder how patient you are in these days of instant gratification, instant ability to get so much news and so much instant response. We don't seem able to wait. Now, of course, in our stories this morning, there was a lot of waiting on God in the times when he was coming to speak to Samuel. But of course, that long waiting that the Jews had as they look back at the history of the news that was presented to them through the writings of Moses and his teachings in the preparation for them to meet the coming Messiah. And so we are finding it difficult, I think, in today's world to wait as they waited. And a little story against myself is while we were away over the new year and at our resort, they had what's called a lazy river, you know, where you sit in the ring and you let the stream take you along. Just lie back and let things happen. Now, it probably won't surprise those of you who know me that I actually paddled because I wanted to get to the end quickly. I was being impatient. And I think that represents a lot of our modern society. We just need, he says, speaking to himself, to sit and wait for God's timing rather than try and bring things forward more quickly. And I wonder what our expectation of the recent celebration of Christmas has been for us. I hope it was a time of fulfillment and that your anticipation was perfected. Perhaps there was some time of disappointment. Perhaps the relationships didn't quite work out. But I hope that you know that Christmas is in fact not over and that Christ is becoming more present to you day by day. If we look at our first story this morning, that of Samuel, he was ministering under the teaching of Eli, and it was a time when God was not expected to speak. There was no anticipation that God was going to reach out with his word. As we read, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. But Samuel didn't know that. He was young. He was anticipating that God could well speak, but he hadn't been told that. So when God did speak to him, God had to wait because Samuel was not aware that God was going to speak to him. And, of course, the whole story of Samuel was a waiting on God because his mother, Hannah, was very faithful. She prayed to God for her son, to have a son. And then when she was granted that prayer, she dedicated him to God and he was put with Eli so that he would minister before the Lord. So when God did call to Samuel, he thought it was Eli, and he rapidly responded. He ran to Eli and said, "Yes, master, what is it?" He was keen to offer his service, but he misunderstood. So God called again and again and patiently waited for Samuel to respond. One can imagine Samuel thinking, well, Eli has lost it, really. He's saying that he hadn't called me. Well, I heard him. Now he tells me to listen out for God. And Eli, even in those days when he knew God was not speaking as regularly as he had in the past, Eli had a role in teaching Samuel. And he realized that God was being insistent in wanting to speak to him. And however many barriers the society of the time, and indeed in our own society, that we put up against hearing God, he will break through. And so that fourth time that God spoke, Samuel waited and listened. Speak, for your servant is listening. How many times is God trying to speak to us? Many times we don't hear, but thankfully he doesn't give up. And we need to be attuned to him speaking to us with all the noise that makes it particularly difficult in our modern society. That noise of all the news that we have on tap, the media connections that we have, and we need to step back and listen for God. And God had a tough message for Samuel to give to Eli. It was a prophecy against Eli's family, against their disobedience and wickedness. For the sons of Eli had no regard for the Lord and had abused the offerings that had been brought to God. I just recollect from this how God will continue to speak to us, even if we don't respond initially. If we now look at the calling of Nathanael, there's that same enthusiasm at the beginning. There was the enthusiasm of Philip, who Jesus had found and called him to him. And Philip wanted to share that good news. And so he went and found Nathanael. And we know that line that Nathanael came out with, "Nothing good can come from Nazareth. How can the Messiah come from there?" And the interesting thing is that Philip did not argue with Nathanael. He simply said, "Come and see." And that's a wonderful expression that was used of the teachers of old to their pupils. Come and see. Come and find out for yourselves. And perhaps that's something we could have on our lips as we leave here today, as we talk to our families and friends. It's an invitation that we can gently give. Come and see. It's up to God to build up that relationship that he wants with those we care about who don't yet know him. But it's not our argument. It's God's love through Jesus Christ that will win the hearts of those for whom we pray. And so Jesus surprised Nathanael. He sees into his hearts and describes him as being a true Israelite, somebody who was seeking the coming of the Messiah. And Nathanael's response was, well, how do you know me? And Jesus said, I saw you sitting under your fig tree. He was under that tree seeking peace and shade, probably meditating on the scriptures. And indeed, we can read in Micah, they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. So being the faithful Jew that he was, Nathanael doubtless was contemplating those promises of the Messiah. There's that sense of anticipation that he had no idea was going to be fulfilled in front of him that morning. And Jesus knew Nathanael's dreams and prayers, and he honored that simple faith. And he turned the skepticism that Nathanael showed initially into faith. And he showed that promise that Jesus would be the way to heaven. Jesus took the story that every Jew would have known of Jacob's ladder, where Jacob was asleep on the ground with a stone as his pillow, dreaming that there was a ladder set up from earth to heaven. And the angels were ascending and descending the ladder to heaven. And Jesus is saying, I am that ladder. I am the way to heaven. So Nathanael is taking an image, if you like, for all of us who need to set aside the shackles of a religiosity that actually blinds us to the simple gift of the gospel that we receive in Jesus Christ, and to respond to that personal call. And we are here today because we've either responded to that call, or we're seeking, we're interested to hear more about Jesus Christ. There may be some who need yet to respond to that call to come and see. And there are several of us, many of us here, who need to have that on our lips as we speak to family, friends and colleagues, to say, come and see this Jesus who is the way and the truth and the life. And it's a sobering thought that it may be only through us that those we know, the network that we're involved in our recreation, in our work, we may be the only ones who have that gift of the gospel to share with those we know. And God knows our hearts. He knows that he wants us to serve him and go in his way. We shared that psalm this morning, Psalm 139, which goes on, of course, to talk about how God made us. He knew us from the very first days in the womb. We cannot get away from his knowledge of us, from his presence. And this psalm says some wonderful things about God, about him knowing all things, about being ever-present and being all-powerful. To be omniscient, being omnipresent and omnipotent. And the wonderful thing about God knowing us and the fact we can't get away from him is that he is wherever we are. There is no hiding place from God. He wants us to know that he is holding on to us to stop us drifting from us. And his love binds us to him. And his love is expressed in that knowledge that he has of us, knowing us right to the core of our being. And I wonder how well we know ourselves. Are we positive in our acceptance of who we are, of our need for our dependency on God, the fact that he wants us as his children, even knowing us so deeply, and being known and loved means that our dependency on him is upheld? Or do we deny the reality of our need for God? Do we think that we can cope on our own with all the pressures of life as it presents itself to us day by day? Do we deny God's desire to be willingly involved in all aspects of our lives as we attempt to hide from him? But let us remember, there is no hiding place. So I encourage us to gracefully and gratefully accept the hand that God holds out to us to lead us in our daily lives. In the first book of Chronicles, we read, "And you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a single mind and willing heart. For the Lord searches every mind and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will abandon you forever. So listen, come and see." And as we meet him around the table, as we share communion shortly, look beyond me offering communion. Look beyond the assistants offering you the cup. Listen, come and see Jesus. Share together in the memorial supper of the bread and the wine as a reminder of his sacrifice, of his body and his blood, bringing us forgiveness and salvation. Listen, come and see, and claim that gift for yourselves.